an opportunity to come to the GIBF you all hosted a couple of years back. And so it was a blessing to be here and to hear the choir and the special music and, of course, the great, wonderful preaching that you had here as well. And so I want to introduce my family, my wife, Rachel, 16 and a half years going on. And then our oldest daughter, Adrienne, she is 14. And then we have a 13-year-old son that's Hayden. And then a 10-year-old son that's Micah. And then Brooklyn, she is 7. And Bryce, he is 6. And so we are a nice, full, big family. Our quiver is full. And so it's been a blessing. Just last week, we celebrated 3 years there at Cornerstone as pastor of the church there. We've been with Cornerstone right after my wife and I got married. We came on staff there as the youth director, worked with the youth for about 6.5 years, and then worked with the singles ministry and into associate pastor. And then just 3 years ago in November, we took over the pastorate there, and it's been a blessing. It's been a interesting last 3 years, especially this last year. Definitely different in our church, but the Lord's been gracious and the Lord's been good to us through it all. And so it's been a blessing to be a part of that ministry. It's also been a joy to get to know your pastor, always coming through the area, and he's always looking to play golf, and I enjoy that. I miss Pastor Randolph being there as much as he does, because my staff guys are not golfers. They're goofers, and so they do not play golf very much, and so it's almost like I have to twist an arm to get them to play, and so I don't get to play as much without Pastor Randolph there. And so he's going to be coming, Lord willing, in a couple months, next year actually, and coming through the area. Hopefully we'll get to play some golf together. So enjoy that beautiful weather that we have out there. Now, you all have been having great weather while we've been here right now, but Phoenix is, this time of the year, is probably the best time to go, all the way through February, March, and even into April. Beautiful weather there, and so great golf and weather. Well, I'm going to have you turn to Acts chapter number 6 this morning, Acts chapter number 6, and once you found it, would you please stand in honor of the Word of God as we read together Acts chapter number 6 in verse number 1. Word of God says in Acts chapter 6 and verse number 1, "In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost." Now I want you to look at verse number 8. "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Shall we pray? Lord, I thank you so much for this day you've given to us. What a privilege it is to be here this morning, to hear your praises sung. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to preach the truth of the Word of God. I pray as we look into it this morning, it would be a help to us, that you would challenge us and change us by the truth that we find therein. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, when you come to the book of Acts, it's an exciting time in the church age of Christ. And so we're grateful for the ministry that of Apostle Paul and the disciples and all of this. And when you come to Acts chapter number 5, Acts chapter number 5 and is in a very exciting chapter, also a very scary chapter for some. Chapter 5 starts out with Ananias and Sapphira and how they lied about the possession they sold. Two lives were lost because of sin, because of lies that they told. But in chapter 5 and verse 11, the Word of God says this, "And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things." So the Word of God had gone out based on what Ananias and Sapphira had done. Great fear came upon all the people that heard about it and all the people that experienced it firsthand. Chapter 5 and verse 14, "And believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and of women." So God is doing many great and mighty things in chapter 5 of Acts. And so the Bible says that Peter goes on to preach a message. The people were pricked in the heart. And when they heard the message at Acts chapter 5 and verse 33, the Word of God says, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. But at the end of chapter 5, you see that a Pharisee stands up. You know, Pharisees didn't really get a whole lot of things right. But this Pharisee actually stood up for Peter and stood up for the disciples and for those that were preaching the truth of the Word of God. And he actually got some things right. At the end of chapter 5, the Pharisee said unto them that they're going to fail without God. Now, if you don't have God, you're going to fail. And that's what he got right in this passage of Scripture. Because in verse 38 of chapter 5, it says, "Now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or of this work be of men, it will come to naught." You know, a Pharisee got something right there. That you cannot do something without God. You cannot make it in your life without the Lord. Because he told of those that did try to do it without God, and it all just came to naught. But he says in verse number 39, "But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye found even to fight against God." So really, he gave a two-point outline there. He says, you can't win. You will fail without God, and you cannot fight against God and expect to win. And that's the truth that we find in chapter 5. And so at the end of chapter 5, the very end, look at what it says in verse 41. "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." So through all of the events that happened in chapter 5, those that had lost their lives because of lies, then the council had come against them and was about to slay them. Someone stood up and said, "Hey, if they're going to try to do it without God, they're not going to be able to make it." And also that you cannot fight against God and continue to win. So they let them alone and said, basically, don't preach the Word of God anymore. But they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame and reproach in Jesus' name. And the Bible says, and they continued to preach the truth of the Word of God. You know, the world out there today does not need a president or a politician. They need the preaching of Jesus Christ. And when you preach Jesus Christ, something happens. When you preach the truth of the Word of God, lives will be changed. Look at what happens in our text in chapter 6 in verse number 1. "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there rose a murmuring of the Grecians among the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." Did you see there that the numbers begin to multiply? When you look at verse number 2, it says, "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them." So now it's not just 12 that are going out. It's not just 12 that are doing the work of God. It's many that are called, many that are disciples of the Lord. Because a disciple is a learner or a follower of Jesus Christ. So when your life was changed by the truth of the Word of God, then you became a disciple of Jesus Christ, a learner of the truth. So in Acts chapter 6 and verse number 1, the church is growing. Things are happening at a rapid pace. And yet there's a problem. There's a murmuring because there's neglect. Yet there's always a solution. What was the solution? The solution was found in verse number 3. "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." You see, there's always a solution when you come to the truth of the Word of God, that God always has an answer for what comes up in a problem or a situation. In this case, there was a group of people that were murmuring because things were being neglected. Usually in a church, when somebody is spread too thin, maybe a pastor or a preacher has a problem keeping up on things, that's why you hire staff, right? To keep the ministry going and keep the ministry growing. Then there's men in the church, deacons and trustees and different ones that come along beside the pastor and help him and help the work of the ministry so that he can continue the work
of the ministry that God has called them to do. But you know, they needed men. Men, not just any men. They needed men, the Bible says, of honest report. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. You see, I like what Philip said about this. Philip said they needed good men. Honest report. They needed godly men. Full of the Holy Ghost. They needed gifted men. Full of wisdom. And there's a man among them that I want to focus in on this morning. And his name is Stephen. Now we see that there are seven different men here mentioned, but only a few do you read much about. You read about Stephen. Stephen was the first martyr of the church. We know that he's the first one that lost his life for the cause of Christ that we have recorded for us in the Scriptures. And then we have Philip, which is mentioned next in verse number 5. And Philip was the first missionary of the church. Now, the other five, you don't read anything else about or very much about. You just know that their names were mentioned. But the Bible says that they were men of honest report. They were men of full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom. Now, just because a man is not mentioned or just because we don't have a full account of his life does not mean that he did not do something for the cause of Christ. You see, because churches are full of the unsung heroes, you could say, or the people that you don't really get to know about. There could be people that are preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God that you may never know in your life, but they're still faithful for the cause of Christ. And you can be a servant of Christ and a silent servant of Christ in a sense, and God will bless you just the same, even if you're not in the limelight, you could say. So just because we don't know much of anything of the other men does not mean they were of no importance. They may be unknown to us, but we can call them the unsung heroes or the workers of the faith who faithfully carry out the task of the ministry. You know, I think about our church back home and about the people that are making the ministry run today. I'm thankful that we are able to have Sunday school classes and we have teachers that have been teaching for 20 years, 20 plus years, some going on 30 years of teaching in Sunday school this morning. And I think about that and I think about, you know, they're never going to be the ones that maybe are on the live stream or never the ones that everybody looks at. But, you know, they're faithfully serving the Lord with their life. Praise the Lord for them. Church is made up of many people who carry out the purpose and the plan of God. But when I read of Stephen, I see a man that stands out. I see a man that any person could look at and say, I want to follow that man's example. I want to follow what he did in his life. And notice what it says about him in verse number 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Verse number 8, and Stephen, full of faith and of power. You know, great things begin to happen in verse number 8 in the life of Stephen, because it goes on to say, who did great wonders and miracles among the people. So Stephen stands up, and Stephen is a man full of faith and of power and full of faith and of Holy Ghost. And because of that, great things begin to happen. But I want you to notice verse number 9. Now, we didn't read this in our text, but notice what it says in verse number 9. Then there arose. Then there arose. Does that ever seem like life is a roller coaster ride? When I was a young teenager, I went with my friend Jeremiah to Castles and Coasters. You probably have never heard of it. It would be a small theme park in Phoenix area and kind of an older place. Only have one big roller coaster and just a lot of little things and stuff like that. And so we went to this place as a teenager, and they had this one ride, though. It was a boat ride. Now, you get into this boat, and this boat then just kind of goes side to side. Anybody ever been on one of those? And it just swings higher and higher. And if you're in the middle, then it's not as bad. Now, if you're on the end, you're, of course, almost feel like it's going to just start going in circles. That's how this thing goes. goes up and down and up and down. And you're going, okay, all right, when's this ride going to be over, right? And I remember going on this, and he loved this ride. And I got off this ride. I said, I'm never riding that ride again. That ride is terrible. Let's go on the roller coaster. Let's go on something else. That's just terrible ride. Until we met some girls. Then all of a sudden, we met some girls that really enjoyed this ride. And I said, hey, that's a great ride. Let's go on that ride. And I'm telling you, I think we rode that ride about 7 or 8 more times that day. And because we wanted to go with those girls on that ride. And I say all that to get us to think in life. You know, it's a funny illustration, but sometimes in life you put aside the fears and you put aside those things because you want to do something with someone or enjoy something with someone. I think about our Christian life. Think about who we ride with. Who do we have in our life at all times? We have the Lord with us. We have the Holy Spirit of God with us at all times. So no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the ride you're on, you have a ride that you can say, hey, it's a good ride because of who I'm going with. It's a good ride of who is sitting next to me and who's with me through all of life's problems. Because life will have its up and downs. But if you're going to weather the storms, I guarantee you, you want Jesus in your boat. You know, the disciples, they were on the sea and the Lord said, we're going to go to the other side. In Mark chapter 5, I believe it was. You can read about it in the Gospels. And he said, let's go to the other side. You see, there was a man over there that was possessed with the spirit of a devil. And so he wanted to go over to the other side. And they get on the boat and they're on the way over and there arose a mighty tempest in the sea. And they wake up the master and say, carest thou not that we perish? And he says unto them, O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You doubted what I had said. See, the Lord already said He's going to take you to the other side. If the Lord already told you He's going to take you to the other side, He will see you to the other side. Now, there might be some bumps along the way. There might be some rough waters along the way. But we know this, that when the Lord tells you He's taken you over, you're going over. While we have a little glimpse of the life of Stephen in all respects, he probably did not live a long life. He didn't have a ministry like the Apostle Paul's, Apostle Paul, because he never got that chance. But he did have a great impact on the early church. He also made an impact, I believe, on the life of the Apostle Paul. Look at chapter 7 and verse 54. Chapter 7 and verse 54. Stephen preaches a message, a powerful message that we're not going to have time to read in chapter 7. The Bible says in verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then he cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. But you know, as I looked at the life of Stephen and I studied out the life of Stephen, you know, from start to finish, you want to know what remained constant in his life? Look at verse 55 again of chapter 7. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost. You know, we got the opportunity as a family to go into Lambert's this last week. I'm sure that everybody's been to Lambert's, right? Home of the throwed rolls. And so we took our kids, they're like, what's the big deal? I said, you got to go in there and you have to find out. And all of a sudden, you know, my kids are going, over here, over here. I think they were having more fun catching the rolls than anything. And, you know, but we went in there and I said, don't eat a lot because don't worry about breakfast. I'm starving. I just want to eat just a little. They left some treats and stuff in the house that we're staying at. And the kids are going, just let me. I said, don't eat anything. We're going to Lambert's. But I'm starving. I mean, my belly button's touching my backbone. I mean, they were hungry. I mean, they were starving. And then all of a sudden you sit down and they throw those hot rolls to you. You cut them open and put some butter on them and then maybe a little bit of honey and it's dripping out the edge. You know what I'm talking about? You barely hold on to them because they're so hot. And then you start eating the rolls. Man, throw some more of those. Hey, and then they bring over that fried okra, right? They put that on your napkin. You start eating the fried okra. And some of my kids are going, you know, I'm not a huge fan of okra and all that. And I said, okay, so then we order. And then their kids' meals even. Their kids' meals are huge. And their meals are big. And the kids are eating away and all this stuff. And all of a sudden they're going, hey, you want some more vegetables? Bringing over all these add-ons and everything. And then before you know it, you're going, oh, I couldn't eat another bite. I am stuffed. If I have another roll, you're going to have to roll me out to the car. Every single one of them. You guys want any more? But you said you were starving. We all said I could not eat another bite. You know, when I think of the life of Stephen, I think of a man from start to finish full of the Holy Ghost. And this morning I want to preach a message. The introduction was kind of long, but the point probably won't be as long. When you're full of faith, there's no room for fear. When you're full of faith, there's no room for fear. What was evident in Stephen's life as a result of being full of faith? Being full of the Holy Ghost. You see, because I believe being full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost are both one and the same. Because you cannot be full of faith if you're not full of the Holy Ghost, and you can't be full of the Holy Ghost if you're not full of faith. Right? Because faith is just believing what God says He will do. You're saying, hey, I believe it, I receive it, I'm going to apply it in my life. And so Stephen was a man full of faith. And when you're a man full of faith, you don't have room for fear. I want you to see, first of all, Stephen showed the power of God. Now, turn back to Acts chapter number 6. He showed the power of God. Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power. You see, Stephen manifested the power of God. He made known the power of God. Great, wonderful miracles. Notice it says, he did great wonders and miracles among the people. Do you see what, really, in verse number 9 where it says, then there arose, you see, Stephen was a man full of faith and of power and full of the miracles, and he had the message of Christ with him, and people noticed there was a difference in the life of Stephen. You see, people see your God's power or presence upon you. You see, people will see it if you have it, and people will see it when you don't have it. Notice it says, he did great wonders and miracles among the people. People need to see the power of God upon your life. People need to see the miracles upon you. We will never see the miraculous until we have the power of God upon our lives. What was promised? Look at back at Acts chapter number 1 in verse number 8. Acts chapter number 1 in verse number 8, it says this, a very well-known verse. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. You see, you shall receive power. You know, that's the great promise of God that is given to us in the book of Acts. You know, when Peter stood in chapter 2 and he preached the truth of the Word of God and 3,000 souls were saved. Here's a man that was denying the Lord in the Gospels, and now he's preaching the Lord, preaching the truth of God in Acts chapter 2, and many souls were saved. You know, when somebody looked at that, just like the song was saying about this morning, that they marveled that they had been with Jesus. That's what they said about the disciples. It says, when they looked at them and they were ignorant and unlearned men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know, people will notice that you've been with Jesus. People also notice when you haven't been with Jesus. Stephen showed the power of God. You know, power comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Full of faith. Full of the power of God. Not of fear. Do people look at you and I and say, there's something different about that guy. There's something different about that young lady or that lady. There's something different about that person. They stick out. Do we show the power of God in our lives? See, Stephen, when it says here in verse number 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. People need to see a difference in our lives. Not only did he show the power of God in his life, he stood on the promises of God. Notice in verse number 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. So there arose a group of people that didn't like what he was saying, and they disputed with Stephen in verse number 9, it says. And in verse number 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. You see, here's a man that stood on the promises of God. Now, this was not his wisdom, because Luke chapter 21 and verse 15, Jesus' words were this, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." Now, think about this truth, that he says, "I'll give you a mouth and wisdom." So he gives us the ability to speak, and then he gives us the words to say. So he gives you the ability. Everyone has the ability to speak. Now, I know there's some that may not have the ability to speak. But wasn't it Moses that said, "I can't speak"? And he says, "I'll give you the words. You have Aaron. You can use him." He says, "I will take away all excuses so you can open your mouth and I'll give you the exact words to say." Amen. You see, when the Spirit of God is in your life, he takes over. And sometimes when you're talking to somebody and you may be sharing the gospel with somebody and you say, "I have no idea where that even came from." And that's the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and then you're able to share it with someone else. You see, Stephen was a man that showed the power of God, and he stood on the promises of God. You know, like that kid song that we sing in Sunday school. The Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible.
I am God's holy word.
Yeah. I remember in Sunday school we used to do the Pledge of Allegiance, right? You do a Pledge of Allegiance to the Christian flag, Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, and then you do a Pledge of Allegiance to the Bible. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. You know, that was something that we did. You know, the song, B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. You know, when you think of all the trials and difficulties that you face in your life, the Bible says that I stand alone on the Word of God. You see, that means outside problems and outside issues do not have a say in where you stand. You stand on the principles and on the promises of the truth of the Word of God. That's why Stephen was a man full of faith and not fear, because he stood on the promises of God. And sometimes in life, when you think about that song, the Bible says, the song says this, "I stand alone." That means I'm going to stand alone on it. That's the only thing I'm going to follow. But have you thought about this? Sometimes you have to stand alone. Do you notice Stephen doesn't, in this passage, have a whole lot of people backing him up? Kind of like when Paul, at the end of his life, what did he say? "All men forsook me." He says, I pray it's not laid to their charge. I wonder where he heard something like that. From the life of Stephen, as he's holding the coats, he realized that here's men that are afraid and they walk away from the Word of God. They walk away from the promises of God. Yet Stephen stood on the promises of God. Sometimes in life you may feel alone. Usually in the midst of persecution or trial is when God's children bolt or they back down from the truth of the Word of God. They could not say anything to resist the words of Stephen, it says here in this passage, that he was bold in his position. He stood on the promises of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now that is a promise in the Word of God that you and I can't afford to forget. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a good promise, don't you think? Stephen showed the power of God. He stood on the promises of God. Thirdly, he shined with the peace of God. Because he stood on the promises of God, because he showed the power of God, he shined with the peace of God. Notice in verse number 15 of chapter number 6. "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." You know, when you think about that, you think of the face of an angel. You know, when somebody thinks of an angel, you think of like a halo over the head, right? The shining, glowing, the wings, all of those things. The face of an angel, I think about this, I think of that I almost imagine Stephen just sitting there with this big smile on his face. A glow about him that nobody had seen before. I mean, the Bible says they saw his face as that it had been the face of an angel. You see, really, he looked different from what they were used to seeing or someone being accused of doing wrong. You see, when somebody usually stands before a council and they're saying, "You've done this wrong, you're accused of this, that you're going to probably lose your life because of this," and he's sitting there with a big smile on his face, doesn't sound like what I'd be doing. Anybody else? You're accused of something and you're basically probably going to lose your life for standing for the truth of the Word of God, and you have the shine about you, a glow about you. That's where he's at. He had an overwhelming peace about life, you could say. He had this sense, I believe that Stephen had this sense that God is still in control. When God is blessing, everything is great. The cup is full. There's rejoicing, right? I mean, everybody's excited about what's happening. Acts chapter 5, at the end of it, they're excited. The Bible says that they rejoiced, that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. I mean, chapter 6 comes along. There's a group of people saying, "Let's get together. Let's have these men and separate them for the ministry." And the church is exploding. Things are happening. Everybody's rejoicing. Then the problems come. You know, it's real easy to bless the Lord and say, "Praise the Lord," when the cup is full. But what about when the well is dry? I just put this down. What about when the well is dry, when you want to cry and you feel like you're going to die? I mean, think about that. Think about all the trials that the up and downs of life. When you have the Red Sea on one side and you have the Egyptian army coming on the other side. Like when you go back to the Old Testament and you see here's the Red Sea and you're looking at Moses, your leader. "This is where you led us? Look at who's coming." Right? The Egyptian army's coming to take your life and to reign over you again. Should we have just stayed there? Now we're going to die in the wilderness. And you know what the Lord said unto Moses? "Speak unto the people and tell them to go forward." How do you go forward when you got a Red Sea right in front of you? You go forward when you're full of faith and not fear. You go forward when you trust the truth of the Word of God, when you stand upon His promises, that you still must go forward in your Christian life and not look back. Hey, no man having put in his hand to his plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You don't look back and say, "Hey, I need to go back and do this," or "I need to change this." Hey, forgetting which those things which are behind. I must press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, in verse number 9 of chapter 6, then there arose certain of the synagogue. You know, there arose in everybody's life. But we must remember that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. God is still great. He can still do the great. And Stephen was full of faith. And because of that, there was no room for fear. I want you to see, fourthly, not only did he stand on the promises of God, not only did he shine with the presence of God and the peace of God in his life, but number four, he suffered for the preaching of God. You know, when you come to chapter 7, there's no way, like I said, I'm going to have time to preach Stephen's sermon, but he did give a great history lesson of chapter 7, and I encourage you to go back and read that. I'm sure you've heard a message on him before or on this passage before, but I want to point out a couple of things. Notice in verse number 34 of chapter 7, Acts chapter 7, verse number 34. He's speaking about Moses and the time where he saw God's people that were suffering. And he says this. This is God's word to Moses. And he says in verse 34, I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. You see, really, in this passage of Scripture, when Stephen was preaching this message about Moses, you know what he was saying? He was saying this, that God saw what was going on. God heard their cry, and God raised up a deliverer by the name of Moses. You know, you think about this, that God sees what you're going through, God hears your prayer, and God always has a way to deliver you. What a truth that you could just stop and preach what Stephen is preaching. This is what he's proclaiming to this council. He's boldly preaching it. But you know what happens? The message Stephen preached was not very popular. Look at chapter 7 and verse 51. He says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye." Well, that's pretty bold preaching, isn't it? Verse 52. "Which of the prophets have your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart." I believe they were convicted, but weren't changed. They were convicted, but they didn't want to do anything about it. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. You see, Stephen's response was still the same, though. You see, they responded to the preaching of the Word of God, but Stephen's response, notice in verse 55, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." You know, Stephen was not worried at all. He said, "I see the Son of Man." You know, you think about this, that they denied that Jesus rose from the grave. Right? You know what he said? "I see him." You know, here's a people that deny that Jesus even had risen from the dead. And he says, "I see him." You know, it was this last year, right before the pandemic situation and all of that, before COVID came about, that we had a dear servant of the Lord that was in our church for many years. He was a servant of the Lord, always did a lot of different things. When we'd have big events, him and his wife would come in and do all the cooking for it. They were Italian, did always Italian meals, really good food. And so they would come in, and also when we'd have door-knocking breakfasts or we'd have missionary breakfasts, they would come in bright and early and come in there and make all the food for everyone. Such a dear couple of the church. And he was failing pretty quick, and I got the phone call. I was actually on my way to grab a quick bite to eat around lunchtime, and I got a call that Vito was his name. Probably wasn't going to make it very much longer. They said, any time now. And I was
literally, I was like less than a block away from where he was staying. So I darted in there real quick and got out and got into the nursing care facility that he was there. And I walk into the room and here's a worker here and a nurse over here. And then like the owner of the facility said, he's not going to be long, won't be long. And I said, OK, I said, I'm his pastor and been, he's been a great servant of the Lord of our church for so many years. I said, let me just have a word of prayer. And they said, sure, not a problem. They said, probably a few hours, you know, maybe tomorrow, won't make it long. We've already called the family, all of this. All the other family was about to come in. So I went by his bedside and I started just, you know, he's breathing kind of just softly and all that stuff. And kind of just at any moment, he could have went home. So I just said, I'm going to have a word of prayer. And they stayed right there. These two ladies did. He hadn't opened his eyes. He hadn't done anything for the last 2 or 3 days. So I began to pray. And of course, I didn't know what was going on during the prayer. I began to pray. And all of a sudden, I said, thank you, Lord, for his service. Thank you, Lord, that he's going to be home with you before long. I kind of envy him this day and age and all of this. And that's kind of the prayer that was going on. And right after I prayed, I said, in Jesus' name, amen. And all of a sudden, right when he did that, he went, and that was it. Just like that. Gone. They said, he's gone. I looked back at these two ladies that were there while I was praying, and their mouths were up. And what had happened was, is while I was praying, he opened his eyes, and he looked up. Like with a smile, they said, on his face, or his face changed. And they didn't close their eyes. I had no idea what was going on. They're like, he hadn't opened his eyes in 2 days. He hasn't done nothing. And here he, right before he goes, he opens his eyes. I wonder maybe if he just saw something coming. Smile on his face. Took his last breath and in glory. You know, after Stephen kept going, they couldn't take it anymore. They took him out and stoned him. He showed the power of God. He stood on the promises of God. He shined with the peace of God. And what did he get for it? He suffered for the preaching of God. But you know, that's not the end. Notice what it says in verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You see, here's a man that showed the power of God, stood on the promises of God, shined with the peace of God, and he suffers for the preaching of God. But I want us to see finally this morning, he's safe in the presence of God. Stephen has two final phrases out of his mouth. Receive my spirit. Lay not this sin to their charge. You know, I see a man that was grateful for his forgiveness. Receive my spirit. I see a man that granted forgiveness. Lay not this sin to their charge. Forever with the Lord. While we only have a short testimony of the life of Stephen, wouldn't it be great at the end of your life to end where you started, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost? And guess where he dies? A man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Everything in between is all going to be good if you start and you end well when you're full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. How about you today? Are you full of faith? Or have you allowed fear to creep into your life? You say, well, I'm 99% of faith and there's just that 1% of fear. No, you're going to allow that fear to take over your life. You need to have faith in the Lord. Believe in Him. You know, the Word of God says that salvation is by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, salvation is where it begins. If you're here today and you're not saved, maybe you're watching online and you're not saved, salvation is where it begins. That's how you can start with faith in the Lord. But you as a Christian, not only that, our service is by faith. Because Hebrews chapter 11 says in verse number 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." When you're full of faith, there's no room for fear. Will you choose to walk by faith and not by sight? Starts with salvation. It ends with salvation. You know what? Something about Stephen's life that I want you to see in verse number 60. It says, when he had said this, he fell asleep. You know, when you think about this, here's a man being stoned. And while he's being stoned, he says, "Receive my spirit and lay not this sin to their charge." And then the Bible says that he fell asleep. Nowhere does it say that he went through the pain, the heartache, the problems of stones. I think stones would hurt as they hit you. And you would think that it would be more graphic where it would say something like this, "And he died." And he suffered and he died. Think of the cross of Christ and how he suffered on the cross. I mean, there was that pain and the suffering. And the Lord, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You see, Stephen, the Bible says, and he fell asleep. I think of a man that ended at the end of his life was a testimony of his life. He rested in Jesus. Amen. You know, that should be our testimony. Amen. If you're a child of God, then you ought to rest in Him. Claim the promises of God. Stand with the power of God. Be in His presence and say, "Lord, I want to be a man or a woman full of faith, not of fear." Because when you're full of faith and not of fear, you'll always go forward for the cause of Jesus Christ. Let's stand this morning. Lord, I thank You so much for the life of Stephen. Lord, we could spend many messages speaking about his testimony. But Lord, we're thankful for a man that was faithful from start to finish, a man full of faith and no room for fear. Lord, we're thankful that he's in your presence this morning. Lord, I think of so many saints that have gone on before us, so many Christians that have lost their lives due to circumstances that we may not understand. But Lord, you took them home. Lord, may we know that your power and your presence is available in our lives. So Lord, if there's one here that is fearful about what's taking place in our world, or maybe fearful about what's going to happen tomorrow, I pray today that they would get full of faith like a man like Stephen. Lord, bless now this invitation. Lord, we pray your presence and your power in it. If there's decisions that need to be made for your honor and glory, I pray that today they would make them. Lord, if there's one listening at home that's never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, or one here in this building, I pray today would be their day of salvation. Lord, we pray that you would be honored and glorified by what takes place in the remainder of this service. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you need to come this morning as the piano's playing, there's some already here. Do you need to come? Maybe the Lord has dealt with your heart. Full of faith, not fear. Would you come this morning as the Lord spoke to your heart?
I hear the Savior say, "My strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe.
respond this morning to the message that was preached. If you're not saved or you don't know what that means, or the Lord's speaking to your heart about faith, not being saved, let me invite you to come. We'll have somebody to deal with you personally if you have any questions. But God's people need to understand this morning. I mean, Stephen trusted God all the way, and it still cost him his life. He went all the way. Every head bowed, every eye closed.